Welcome.
Aquabar.
To the podcast.
To the podcast. Aquabar.
So bienvenue.
I thought bienvenue sounds posse. Aquabar sounds good.
Who are they?
Aquabage.
You used to think you were gay.
No, but my...
That's a way to ask, isn't it?
My first... I had two gay kisses. And the first one, I was about nine. And it was my first kiss.
You were nine, you thought you were gay.
I didn't think I was gay. So I was about nine, and there was this kid in school called...
I'm in front of my chair to hear your gay story.
There's a kid called...
No name! We're calling Tinkerbell.
Okay.
Is this boy called?
Anonymous
Tinkerbell.
Boy.
We called him H.
I was hanging out at his nan's house and we were playing Scrabble. And then he said.
And he put a certain word down.
Bed? Question mark.
I didn't know there were question marks.
He used to blank. Game.
There are only question marks in this game.
We were chatting about women. I was a bit young, I didn't really know about
But he did
women.
Another upside down one, like a Spanish question. Sorry, you were playing Scrabble.
We were playing Scrabble. No, we were just chatting about girls. And then he said that his problem was that he hadn't had enough practice at kissing. And I was like, oh right, yeah. And then he went, yeah, if only I could get some more practice in. And then I was like, haha, yeah. And then he went, we should do it. And I was like, okay. And then I said, isn't that a bit weird? And he said, it's not weird if you're practicing for your future girlfriend. And I was like, oh, cool, great. And then we went to his bedroom and just got off on his bed for about 10 to 15 minutes.
15 minutes?
It was about that.
You got off with him on his bed for 15
It was around that, and then eventually,
15 minutes.
It felt long, and then eventually,
did it?
And then I pulled away, and I said,
"What? What happened? You felt long. You pulled away."
No, we were just
15
kissing.
Minutes.
We were just having a long kiss on his bed, lying down. I don't think there were hands involved. Not that I remember.
What's you both just lying horizontally? Is he for 15 minutes? Just put two pepperonis kissing for 15 minutes.
I pulled away.
This
in the
is
end.
Your first kiss.
This is my first kiss. This is my first kiss
your
with anyone.
Your first kiss.
Yeah, with anybody.
With a boy.
It was with a boy who lay prone on his bed for 15 minutes. I pulled away at the end. I said, "You could use a cushion. You could use a cushion for this." I said, "I don't think I'm needed here because you could use a cushion."
So you got quite indignant at that point. You could use a cushion for this.
He said, "The problem with cushions."
This guy's a genius. The problem with cushions.
He said the problem with practicing on a cushion is that it's not an accurate enough simulation. And I was like, oh,
fucking.
So we carried on. And then eventually
Hold on. A nine-year-old said to you, the problem with kissing is not an accurate enough simulation. This guy had the confidence of a serial killer.
I'm going to find him. I'm going to find him on Facebook.
Is he on your Facebook?
No, but I'm going to find him now.
But he must be stopped at this. Well, imagine what he's been up to since.
And eventually his nan came in and we'd just stopped. And then she went, are you ready to go home? And I was like...
You've been kissing again.
Yep. Oh, here he is.
He's a DJ now. Who was your other gay experience?
The other one was much later. And it wasn't really, it was more a punishment.
That evening.
Much later that same evening. No, I was about 17. And it wasn't really, this was more like a game. But I was in a production of The Wind and the Willows. I was playing Badger. the Salisbury Journal said I was turning into a fine comic actor. No, a fine character actor, and my comic timing was a treat, Salisbury Journal.
Literally, just get to the good
and
stuff.
Yeah, but there was a girl in it who I thought was quite attractive.
There was something about her. She had a dick. There's something about you.
Her name was Jenny, and she was playing Ratty. I thought she was quite nice.
Right.
But because I was quite young, I didn't really know how to talk. I didn't really know how to talk to girls, so I was trying to think of ways to impress her, and I ended up like
Scrabble.
no, I just ran up and hit her in the face with a stick. I didn't really know what else to do to get a girl's attention. So
you dressed as the badger.
Yeah, I was in my dressing gown. I had these huge sideburns. Massive sideburns. Big grey hair, a dressing gown and slippers.
Hit her with a stick.
It was a stick. That was my prop in the show. The badger had a big stick.
In the face.
So I ran up and hit her in the face with this stick, and then I was like, ha, or something. and she went.
Oh my god!
But she was crying.
She did a scream where she didn't make a sound.
She was really upset. And she said that she'd only forgive me if I kissed Oliver Mallum, who played the horse. So I did.
Is there a horse in Wind in the Willows?
In our version, there was. We had to give Oliver Mallum something, didn't we?
And he did.
Oliver Mallum's weird though, because
Why did Oliver Mallum wrong the rat?
No, he was just nearby.
He was on the way.
I don't know. She just chose him as that was what I had to do to.
I meant he was on the way to being gay. Is that an expression?
On the way.
It is now.
Yeah, he was an actor at the time. And then when I started doing stand-up, he started doing stand-up. And then I moved to Tooting, and he moved to the same road.
After you kissed him?
Cut that, yeah.
And he's just been...
doggedly pursuing me.
He's just been dogging you.
He's been dogging for you. No,
So how long did you kiss him for? What was the kiss?
It was about 20 seconds. And then eventually she said, "That's enough, you're forgiven." We never got off, though, me and her. I think where I went wrong was the exact moment.
Was it after you hit her with a stick and then kissed the guy for 20 seconds?
When I hit her in the face with a stick, I think is where I went wrong. That's not done, that kind of thing. I've learnt my lesson. I only did it once again after that.
Because I didn't like any girls in Southend. And I couldn't get one. I don't know if they were connected. I didn't know when I got to uni. So that in a more northern. When I got to uni, I didn't know which way the wind blew, and I wanted to find out before.
Sexuality wise.
Yeah, I didn't want to be looking in a spoon and the wind changed. Jaws, as they say.
How did you find out? How did you verify?
I told everyone I was bi.
Right.
In the first year, for a couple of months, I thought that would give me some sort of social cachet.
Give you some time.
I really had no social skills, I think, up until this point, because I thought telling people I was bi would give me some sort of social cachet. And then eventually I got pissed at some mate's birthday, and then there was the gay of the group who only listened to film soundtracks.
Which
a lot like Kenneth Williams with a beard.
Just one guy?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just the one guy. It wasn't a group of gay people I hung out with. And I sort of quickly gave him a peck. I remember this quite. It was like a cartoon. I quickly gave him a peck outside. We went outside. I must have been able to see my face in his eyes or something like that, because I have this distinct. I became horror stricken. Like as soon as I put my lips to another man, I realised I was in a world of hell. I was like, this is the last place where I want to be.
What did you do?
I lived in Bangladesh when I was young, and I've seen family swept away by tidal waves.
Yeah.
So when I say that, being in proximity to a man's face as I was, It really filled me with dread. You know, say you look into the abyss.
Yeah.
And you realise you're not gay and you want to be fucking as far away from that party.
I've not heard them say that, but
I'm saying it now, mate. I'm saying the quote.
You know when they look, when you look into the abyss and you realise you're not gay, you have to run away from the party.
You had Scrabble.
Because
I really want to have a brainy quote page someday.
A what?
You know the brainy quote pages?
No.
You go up and you see like Winston Churchill, Mark Twain, and all these people. I'd love to have my own one.
I used a quote.
I tried to start a hashtag on Twitter of just doing really smug things, and then hashtag the portable Carl Schultz.
I had a gig the other day. And
lasted
I went
for 3 days. Didn't even get one retweet.
I tried to set up a hashtag that just went Gimli, Gimli, Gimli for a while, and that didn't catch on. I just thought it'd be funny.
I'm having a really bad caffeine crash now.
Are you? What, do you want more caffeine?
Also, I'm just remembering that who that gay guy was. He looks so much like Kenneth Williams.
Really?
Yeah, in hindsight, it was, I don't, because they say that your memory's a lot less reliable.
Yeah.
Like, if we have a time machine, you can actually see me wooing the man all evening. Well, no, less reliable. But in my head, I remember him as, he looks like Kenneth Williams.
But with a beard.
With a beard, yeah.
Kenneth Williams is old.
It was young Kenneth Williams.
Oh, right.
You ever seen that there's a film Kenneth Williams is in where it's just like he was doing a dramatic role in the 50s? But it's like, it feels like a carry-on turn.
I've not seen it.
Do you know my favourite thing that happened recently? Was I had a follow back on Twitter from, it's called Carry On Confidential or something, or Carry On Credentials or something like that. And it's this person who just writes Twitter tweets like, Patsy Rowland died on this day in 1996. And for some reason, I was just going through people to follow. So like, you know, you've got like the Twitter version of people you may want to follow.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's like woman, comedian, woman.
Yeah.
Guy, fuck that guy. And then it came up, a carry on one.
Yeah.
And my eyes lit up because I had all the carry ons on VHS by the time I was 9. And, I looked at it and it said, like, Sid James was from South Africa. I share a birthday with Anne Gary Glitter. And
Sid James?
Yeah.
I share my birthday is the day before Brian Eno's birthday.
The day before Brian Eno's birthday.
But it's the same day as David Byrne and Steve Hogarth from Marillion. Which means...
You're a huge Marillion fan, aren't you?
Oh, I love Marillion. But this is kind of weird, though, if you think about this, because in 1989, Steve Hogarth became the lead singer of Marillion, and his birthday is the same as mine. I was born on the 14th of May, 1989, which means that on the day I was born, Steve Hogarth was celebrating his first birthday as the lead singer of Marillion. It means something. I don't know what, but it means something.
And David Attenborough?
Steve Zuckerberg, for me.
Steve Zuckerberg.
Yep.
Steve Zuckerberg doesn't believe I know black people because I have been banned on Facebook from adding people for 30 days so often because I think it's down to the...
You add too many black people.
Yeah, because I was trying to get in touch with... This is what's... But no, but I mean, that's a silly thing because obviously it's the people themselves who say they don't know you. But it's the... I find it really offensive because... I was the only 5'1" mushroom head white boy. They do remember me.
Not only are they not
accepting it, they're going out of their way to say I don't remember him, knowing fully well
who you are.
That this messes things up for me because I use Facebook for networking and whatever.
Do you know who followed me on Twitter? This is my proudest ever follow that I got. It was the Alan Parsons Project follows me. Now defunct, but you know the Alan Parsons Project? The sort of neo-progressive rock, synth rock band from the 70s.
Who is it that does the...
Presumably Parsons, because Eric Wolfson's dead. He died a couple of years ago.
Do you really think it's Alan Parsons?
Well, it's one of his PR people. But what I love about the Alan Parsons project...
you are so naive if you think it's Alan Parsons who runs that Alan Parsons project. You are so naive.
The great thing about the Alan Parsons Project Twitter feed is that like they haven't done anything since 1990. They haven't released anything. So their entire Twitter feed is just taken up by tweets like, do you remember the album we made in 1982. Their entire feed is full of stuff like that. Or like, here's a review from 78 for Pyramid. They loved it. It's just massive nostalgia.
Well, there's lots of like topical stuff with hashtag what would Eric do?
Might make an album about, I don't know, should have thought of a topical thing before I started.
I only know about Alan Parsons because there's a joke in Austin
Powers.
Yeah, there's an Austin Powers joke,
but that's how I first found out about them. And little did I know when I watched that film how important they would come to be.
Austin Powers is how I made my name in Ghana.
Is it?
Yeah, because it was the first one had come out, and I don't know if the second one had come out, but they used to have the Year 7 initiation assembly where they had to entertain the whole school.
Yeah.
And then, and I was in year 8 by this stage, but the new batch of year 7s didn't have a white boy who could perform.
So you were sort of cool.
So I did initiation ceremony twice. I'm the only person in the history of the school to have done the year 7 assembly twice. Because
did
they wanted someone to dress up as Austin Powers and say to the whole assembly, you want a shag, baby? And then do all the, and then do all the dancing. And but what I remember most strongly about was I was the celeb of the school for, like, longer than I should have been. But I began to hate the fame. I began to hate the fame of it. And there was this one point where... a girl called Zazie, I can't remember, there's a girl that I fancied a few years above.
Yeah.
Who I was just, where everyone was playing football at lunch or whatever, and I was just eating, you know, and two girls came up and who were in the sixth one, go, hey, you're the Austin Powers kid. And I went, oh, not today. And I was a real celebrity from the Austin Powers thing, and I hated the fame. I really hated the fame. Yeah.
I had
to the point of being like
being a prima donna.
I wore a cap. That's right. It was. I remember that it's all coming back. Oh, we had the plain clothes day.
Yeah.
It was like an end of term Friday. Plain clothes, and you play clothes, and you paid towards the charity sort of thing. And when I had plain clothes day, I wore a cap.
But you were still the only white kid.
I wasn't the only white kid, but it was just the idea that somehow, like, I didn't want to be bothered today. not on Friday. I don't want to be... So I wore a cap. And, but, yeah.
Wow.
What an idiot.
In my first week at uni, we went to a hypnotist show by the hypnotist Alan Bates. Not the actor. he's dead. But I was in New York the day Alan Bates died, watching The Caretaker, and Patrick Stewart came on stage, and after the show finished, it really put a downer on the whole night, but, like, The Caretaker finished, and then they came out and did their bows, and then they went away, and then Patrick Stewart came back just as everybody was leaving and went, I just want you all to know that Alan Bates has died, and then walked off. We were all like,
there was an audible gasp.
But anyway, Carl was talking about when he used to hide porn in the woods before the internet.
No. I had a friend who had a brother who's 20 years older who said that we all take porn for granted now.
And,
when he was growing up, there used to be a local wood where there used to be like a stash of porn that you could find in the wood. And I said, have a bit of a callback. I said, I really like the idea of porn in the woods because now I Google forest. The idea of actually, like, 30 years ago, I would have gone to the forest.
To find it.
To find porn. Now I'm at home Googling
you're
forest.
Like a druid.
I don't know what it. No, do you know what the really weird druid. Thing is, right? Now, this forest thing, it's not sick in the sex way, it's sick in the. oh, I don't know if it's sticking anyway, is that I love the backdrop. It is really... Because, you know, if you live in the city... It's true, like, and I, you know those videos where it's some Dutch guy going, he's got like, he's always got $2,000 or euros, whatever it is, and he goes up to some Croatian girl who pretends to be sitting smoking on the side of the road or whatever, goes, can I see your pussy, or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Can I see you?
Yeah, those.
You know, and then they go to the, then they go to the woods. And for, there's something about that that I find really... I find something about that that I find really nice. I don't know what it, but it's something. But
can I see?
Like, you know, hotel stuff is really just crap.
But a wood.
But no, but in the wood, it's like because it's so personable, isn't it? A wood.
What do you mean?
Because
people can see.
Because what do you associate the wood with?
Animals. I associate the wood with animals.
Exactly. No, because I associate the wood with my childhood and centre parks. My favourite ever holiday was centre parks. We went for 4 days. Do you know what we did was? I did the walk in the wood where they're supposed to be doing the bikes.
Yeah.
But I'd already spent my pocket money, so I couldn't get a bike, so I just walked the bike range, and then people kept trying to run me over and all this stuff. But I just loved walking in that wood. and it stayed with me.
I love walking in woods. I learned to walk in a wood. My dad says that my perception, the way I think, is shaped by the fact that I learned to walk in a wood. Because he says,
you learned to walk.
Yeah, I learned to walk in a wood. But that's not to say that I feel.
No
like
one
an
can see this. No one can see this. You're not doing this in public until you've got it down.
We lived in a wood, but...
lived in a wood?
Yeah, Magog Lodge in the wood. We lived in a house called Magog Lodge. It was in the middle of a wood.
And that's Magog Lodge?
Yeah.
Fucking Tolkien shit, this. What? Right, Magog Lodge.
Magog
in
Lodge
the wood.
In the wood.
Right.
And that's where I learnt to walk, near the dancing tree. Seriously, you'd come out of Magog Lodge, and then you'd take a left down this path, and the path went right down past what we called the dancing tree, and then past there was a lovely wood where we'd go and learn to walk. Yeah. He'd carry me all the way to that wood, and then he'd put me down and go, now, walk. It's still there, the dancing tree. We went back a couple of years ago.
Fucking hell.
But what I'm saying is, so I love walking
what
in the woods.
What childhood did you... Right, okay.
So I love walking in the woods, but...
Yeah, I know you... Well,
I don't feel any erotic thing.
I think there is something, because it's back
shameful.
To nature. Also, I was born in Northern Ireland. Now, I've not got any Celtic roots.
No.
Other than I was born in Northern Ireland. And so I always felt like I've always had one toe in the Celtic stream. Because I was born in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
And I grew up thinking that if I didn't ever play for England, I could play for Northern Ireland. And of course, so Southern Ireland is like light green grass, and Northern Ireland is dark green grass. And so there's something, I don't know if I loved Kevin Costner films and the Prince of Thieves.
That's what you were just saying.
Prince of Thieves.
Because
I used to think my dad was like Kevin Costner, you see. And so, and you know, and you grew up and you thought your dad was a hero.
Mm.
And I thought, yeah. Robin
Williams.
The Robin Hood film. I loved it. And Dances with Wolves. And I used to watch this
Field of Dreams.
I loved that film. And I worked out the chords to the eerie bit of music, and they're both major chords. But I used to love those films.
What are you saying?
No, what I'm saying is, so do you remember? Because they all lived in Sherwood Forest.
In Field of Dreams.
Don't be cheeky now, yeah, George. They all lived in the forest. And there was something about there was this romance about living in the wood. That you would have experienced far more
viscerally. It is romantic.
But the Northern Ireland thing was, I have very vivid imagination that to this day. And one of my things is like, I'll tell you two ones. There's one is the tidal waves, and the other one is I have this dream of we're in a boat. And we're coming up to a cliff, and I know it's Northern Ireland. All right, but there's mist in the way, and then the mist clears, and then I can see this amethyst. Is that dark green amethyst?
Yeah.
I can see this amethyst.
Actually, no, amethyst is blue.
You're right.
Emerald.
You're so right. I can see that, but emerald's my gemstone, and I can see this. I can see this dark green cliff.
How many sugars did you?
I'm fucking fucked, mate. I see this dark green cliff, and I know I'm coming back to Northern Ireland the same way. Do you remember when Kevin Costner kisses Dover Beach? I actually did that at King's Cross when I came back from Edinburgh last year. First thing was, I came back from Edinburgh and I
kissed Dover Beach.
And I went straight to Dover. The first thing I did when I got back to Edinburgh was I went straight to the South Bank and I had a chai.
On your own?
Which is the name of my next Edinburgh show, South Bank Chai.
It's a good title.
But the reason that I think I Google wood, because I don't Google wood.
I Google
that's where
wood.
I grew up. That was the name of my house. The animals of Google wood.
That's the Edinburgh show. Carl Schultz is Google wood.
Carl Schultz.
Google wood.
The animals of Google wood.
What I was going to say about...
It's a Scented Landfill, which I thought would be a good name for a show.
Yeah. I was going to do a show called Juz Norris is Covered in Curry Sauce, and the joke was going to be...
You're a quarter Indian.
Yeah, so I'm allowed.
It's known as the loophole of Calcutta. Do you know, my granddad, he's playing Gandhi's Garden, and this is true, because he played in Gandhi's Garden, and I think he picked an orange for it, but I don't know if that's true or not. There's a lot of myths in my family, and but he used to play, and he was in India until he was 15, but up until then, I had Bangladesh. And even though I lived in Bangladesh, my Indian accent that I did was Bernard Breslau in Carrying Up the Khyber. And I was doing it around my granddad. And he said to me, as a 7-year-old, he said there are 10,000 Indian dialects.
Did he ask you which one you were doing?
No, he knew I was doing Carrying Up the Khyber.
Mm. Yeah, my great-great-grandmother was Indian.
Great-great-grandmother.
My great-great-granddad went out to India to work on the railroads, mm. and while he was there, he saw this Indian woman. Everyone was racist back then. He saw this Indian woman and fell in love with her, and everyone went, "You can't, she's Indian." And he went, "Not bothered." And then fell in love with her, and then took her back. Oh, and when he finished working on the railroads, they gave him this little silver...
Took her back.
they gave him a little silver railway car as a present to say thanks for your work on the railroads.
Is it one of those?
No, it's like a miniature one.
Come on, woman! This is... We've got to get...
He comes back to England, and he... he died.
I've had too
much. And the silver... railway car thing passed on to my great-great-grandmother, the Indian. She died.
Was that how she was known? The Indian of Magog Lodge.
No, this was long before Magog Lodge.
Yeah,
and then she died and it went down to the son below, my great-granddad. Then
she went where?
She died.
She died and went to the...
No, the railway car, the silver railway car came down to my great-granddad.
It was a...
It was a little miniature...
Oh, I was thinking something you put on the tracks.
No.
In hindsight, that would have been mental.
So they kept this, and then eventually it passed on to his...
Why did I think that?
I don't know.
Right.
But it passed on...
We all know you're going home.
It passed on to his... To his second wife. And then she melted it down and sold it for scrap. And that's like... just a sad story about my Indian heritage. Anyway, the point I was going to say about the hiding porn...
Why am I spitting? I'm not doing spit takes on my own.
About hiding porn in a wood. Because I remember a family holiday to Wales when I was about 14. Mm-hmm. And at the like we'd been there for a few days... And obviously back then, because stuff wasn't available, and I was getting really frustrated. And then one time, and we were in this cottage that was about 5 miles away from any settlement, because my mum thought it'd be really idyllic and really nice.
Settlement?
Yeah, we were 5 miles from the nearest settlement.
The nearest town.
And then we drove into a town once for dinner, and then after, because I was like, I was getting really desperate. So after dinner, I was like, I'm gonna walk back. And then mum was like, really? Because it was dark. It was dark. But
you cannot walk in the wood.
Then she said...
you haven't got your grade five.
And then they all drove off and left me in this town. And I just went and bought like a lad's mag and then walked 5 miles back in the dark down like country lanes just because of that. And that was horrible.
Mm.
Felt really desperate.
I thought I'd let you... Let you hang on that for a bit.
Yeah, no.
I'm taking some of my youth group to Wales soon.
Are you? Where?
About 4 or 5 16-year-old African British boys.
Yeah.
All taller than me, but they still listen to me about push-ups.
Really?
Yeah.
Whereabouts in Africa?
I'm the uncool uncle. we're going to Snowdonia, and I have to go with them really because my dad. Can't go up Cadair Idris.
I've been to Snowdonia, it's lovely.
Isn't it? Betsy Coward.
What?
Betsy Coward, Jos!
Who's she?
Betsy Coward is, Betsy Coward is the little touristy town you go to before you go to Snowdonia.
I don't think I went there. I think I just drove past the mountain. Is it?
You went past the mountain.
I think I just went to Snowdon, actually. I went to Snowdon, the town. Is it a town?
I'm sure that there might be a settlement called Snowdon.
Yeah. Should we talk about primary school memories?
You joined in. Did you see my hashtag? Because there was a trend for hashtag primary school memories.
Oh, did you start that?
I saw it. Because I thought I wanted more followers. So what I'll do is I'll join in with something that's trending.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Do it with funny stuff.
Yeah, do something silly.
And I didn't get anything out of it. But then I realised, because I look at who were doing primary school memories, and I was talking about my primary school memories were like... lying in assembly.
Yeah.
About
America.
The one about they were made up the martial art.
Yeah.
And the primary school memories, and then the other primary school was about how I told my whole primary school that I was single-handedly winning YMCA league basketball matches.
Oh yeah.
And stuff like that. And then I clicked on the hashtag to see what other people were writing, and then people were writing stuff like. Putting chairs on the table. So I'm writing all this fucking psychopathic shit. And there's this people like, waiting for the bell.
One of my most lasting primary school memories, there was this girl called, I won't name her, but she was like my best friend in primary school. And I didn't see her for about 10 years, and then I found her again on Facebook and tried to tell her I loved her, and that didn't go very well. But that's irrelevant. But basically...
She might have changed as a person.
I met her and she was
She had progeria. It was a straw bet.
We were, and she was like my best friend too, and everyone was always teasing me and was like, ah, she's your girlfriend, and I was like, shut up! And then just glossed over it. And then one time... She used to come around to my house for singing lessons, and my mum realised...
Who was the teacher, Jos?
My mum taught her singing. And then she came around once, and my mum... You know, do you know that novelty pasta that's shaped like penises that you get from sex shops? Have you seen that?
No.
Okay. Someone had got some of that for my mum as a joke, and she realised it was the only food that she had in the entire house, so she cooked it for me and this girl. And then and she didn't really notice, so it was fine. But then, like, the week after, when she came over, we were talking about, like, the differences between boys and girls, because we were very young, we were about five or something. And then we were like, we should both get naked and then we can see all the differences. And I was like, yeah, go on then. And then she did, and did a little, I think she did a little dance around the kitchen. And my mum was out, she was, I don't know. I don't know where she was. But this girl does a little dance around the kitchen. I just sat and watched her in the big kitchen chair. My stepdad's
chair.
Were
you naked in the chair?
No. I had my clothes on. And then eventually she was like, right, that's me done. And then put all her clothes back on. And then she was like, your turn. And then I was like, nah, I changed my mind. That was my first sort of awareness of women.
Your own power over women.
Yeah.
I peaked too soon because at primary school in my glory days,
yeah,
you know, I sort of thought getting girls and stuff, you know, I was yeah, a catch.
Really?
You know, you were a beautiful teenager.
Yeah.
I was sort of a
beautiful
cute
child.
No, I wasn't beautiful, but really cute,
yeah,
and funny, and I could draw.
Yeah, I drew Batman a lot.
Yeah.
And Tintin. You,
being able to draw used to mean that was like currency. Yeah. I used to wonder if it would be currency in prison. Because did you ever when you were young? Because you watched growing up. Because Bryony Fletcher more or less went out with me. It was either one of them went out with me because I said I knew abs from five. Just lied. And then I the girlfriend I've had the longest relationship in my life with was a girl called Laura, I think.
And,
it was in primary school, and I won her heart by, I brought in a photo of Jim Dale to show and tell that I'd signed. And somehow I was, that same day I was going out with her.
Wow.
And she left someone to go out with me.
Because you had a picture of
Jim Dale.
Who is he?
Jim Dale was, if you don't know him from the Carry-Ons.
Oh.
He was in them, and it was all Pete's Dragon.
Right, not seen
He's
either.
The bad guy in Pete's Dragon.
Not seen
and
it.
He's done a lot of voiceover work
okay.
the last 30 years. But the thing is, like, if you don't know who Jim Dale is, how did she know who Jim Dale was?
She really cared.
But I don't know if it was, because it seemed to imply something. I think it wasn't the object. It was the story around the object.
Yeah.
Here's this young guy in our class
who's got a signed
photo of this man from yesteryear. Cause it's a black and white photo.
Yeah. Oh, that would have looked cool.
Yeah, but then I signed it.
Did you sign it Carl Schultz?
No, but I remember specifically running out of space at the end. So he's done his signature, but then it's like he's quickly. But the signature. But no, what I remember is I did. I was writing halfway through writing his name, and I realised that the name's supposed to be squiggly because the Jim I've done in capitals, and then Dale is like this squiggly thing that runs off at the end, and it's like it just looks like Jim with a little frog spawn. So it's meant, but somehow
you still got it.
No.
Oh, okay.
I haven't won. I've since tried to find them on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I am so glad that I didn't keep in touch with any of them. I'll tell you what was really weird is some of them must have Googled me or whatever and seen some
videos
like Matthew Kelly things, and right? And so they've added me on Facebook, and there's one guy who's now gay,
yeah,
and he's added me on Facebook, and he's seen Matthew Kelly, and he thinks that he asked me if I could show, he's moving to London from Devon, can I show him around Soho, like thinking
nice.
That I know all the rainbow clubs and stuff. No.
Oh.
He's got dreadlocks. Like that's the issue, but I used to go to a Paignton Zoo with him all the time.
Where?
Paignton Zoo. Paignton's got a wonderful
zoo. In Ghana?
No, it's in Devon.
I thought you grew up in Ghana.
I've lived in different places.
Oh, okay.
Paignton was where I... When, by the time I'd left Paignton, I had all the carry-ons on VHS.
Yeah.
And by the time I left Ghana, I knew that I could never be with a very skinny woman.
Those are the two defining moments in your life. Those were your two epiphanies.
But no. I mean, you mock. But
yeah, no,
if you look at my lifestyle
so.
Over yeah. in the time that you've known me, which is about half a year,
yeah.
have you ever seen me not
watching?
Have you ever seen me not watching the Carry On film or chatting to a really skinny girl? You haven't seen it, have you?
No.
So it's had an impact, hasn't it? Your dad worked with Jimmy Savile.
Briefly. My dad. I don't know that much about it. To be honest, he won't reveal very much. But he we have to cut this. He'll get called in. They'll ask him questions.
He won't say much.
I think he met him. He possibly was involved. No, okay, I know very little about it, and now I'm implicating him. I think he maybe played piano on Jim'll Fix It or something.
Well, that's great, because your dad is a concert pianist.
Yeah, he's a pianist, and possibly he either played piano on Jim'll Fix It or maybe he provided some musical research for it. And apparently, all he told me is that Jimmy Savile is a loathsome man, apparently.
Mm.
So he's not. There's nothing to worry about.
Hold on. That really implicates him, because did you work with Jimmy Savile? I'm not talking about it. Oh, come on, tell me something. I'll tell you this much. He's a loathsome man.
Now shut the door.
Now, I'll never speak of him again. Oh, bless. Yeah. Who else your dad worked with?
He played at Simon Callow's birthday party.
I met Simon Callow.
He's nice, isn't he?
But I met Simon Callow was at the gym in Edinburgh.
Really? Oh, you know, yeah, you said.
Yeah.
And he said,
how's the play going, Simon? Wonderful boy! It's great, and he was wearing a Banner Times bathrobe. He was wearing a rented bathrobe. And he'd clearly just come from the jacuzzi.
I worked with Rolf Harris
when
I was a child. Yep, if you go to any decent record store,
HMV,
and buy Rolf Harris's 1997 album, Can You Tell What It Is Yet, and then read and then read the liner notes, you will see...
Written them?
No, I perform backing vocals.
On what's the song?
On three songs. I sang backing vocals along with the Hotham School Choir.
Other people involved?
Oh yeah, it wasn't just me. They were all there. Nathan was there. Yemi Oviosu was there.
What?
There were a whole bunch. There were a whole bunch of us singing backing vocals on this Rolf Harris album, and we sang Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, The Sun's Thing, and The Little Robin.
Say that second one again.
It's called The Sun's Thing. It goes, The Sun's Still
you
Up There.
You sang backing vocals on a track called The Sun's Thing. When you were how old?
Seven.
What was your line?
Well, the sun's still up there doing his thing, and we're still doing ours. We just sang that over and over again.
Right.
It's a great album, though. There's a cover... Do you know One Hand in My Pocket by Alanis Morissette?
What are you going to say by Rolf Harris?
No, he covers it.
You're going to look at the... It's going to be a Kaiser Soze moment of looking at the tracks on this album, the sun's thing, One Hand in My Pocket. It's
no, he does. He covers One Hand in My Pocket.
I got your one hand
by Alanis
in my
Morissette.
Pocket, and
yeah.
The other one's feeling
but
fine.
He rewrites them to make them more appropriate to him. So there's a bit.
Oh, does he?
there's a bit in the song where he sings, "I've got one hand in my pocket and the other one's fingering my didgeridoo." he does a cover of "Oblidi Oblidar" on there by the Beatles.
This becomes.
He leaves that one pretty similar. there's a cover of "A Girl Like You" by Edwyn Collins. Excuse me.
Right.
It's mainly covers and "Sunrise."
In the morning,
yeah,
that one. Yeah,
yeah,
I know that one.
Yeah. It's a good album.
Is that the one that Kate Bush did?
Possibly. They've worked together a lot. Yeah, he's appeared on two separate Kate Bush albums.
Because there is, I know, there's a very Australian track.
The primary school memory that I put on Twitter was that when I had my sixth birthday party and we were all going to go to Richmond Park, and there was a kid in school called Dexter, who I remember as being very pale, but I've since been told that he was Iranian. So I don't know what happened there with my memory. But I hated him because he was really annoying and very...
Doesn't remember very, play funny tricks.
He was very needy. And I didn't want to invite him to my birthday party, but then out of embarrassment, because he was always hanging around and he always said I was his best friend, I invited him. And then he said, oh, cool, I'll buy you a Stormtrooper action figure for your birthday. And then I thought, right, I've made the right decision. I should have invited him because I really wanted one. Right. And then afterwards, I thought about it and I was like, oh, but I really hate him and I really didn't want him there. So I went up to him the next day at school and I said, Dexter, you're not invited to my birthday party. And then he went, oh, why not? And then I went, I hadn't planned it that far ahead, so I was like, you just can't come. And then he went, but I thought you were my best friend. And then I felt sort of awkward about it. And I talked my way out of it by saying, I'm not your best friend, but only because everybody has to be their own best friend first. And then he burst into tears. And I was like, what are you doing? I have to be best friends with myself. And then he ran off and he wouldn't hear of it. So then in the end, I did invite him because I felt bad.
Hold on, he went, I have to be best friends with myself, and then ran off.
No, he ran off. He ran off in tears.
So what was this moment of exposition in his life? This little Iranian kid, or apparently is a bit pale. I have to be friends with myself.
No, that's what I said. I said I have to be... I said to him, I'm not best friends with you because I have to be best friends with myself.
I thought he said it and then ran off.
No, I said it and then he ran off. But then I felt bad, right? So I invited him again. I saw him and I was like, you can come to my birthday party. And then on the day, he didn't show up. Yeah. And the next day, I went up to him and I was like, you didn't show up to my birthday party? And he was like, no, no. And I was like, have you got my Stormtrooper? And then he went, no. I didn't even get a Stormtrooper. I went through hell and high water for no Stormtrooper. Mm. That was one of my primary school memories.
Yeah. I used to roll my football socks down to look like... I didn't mean it to look like this, but they, in hindsight, they looked like those bangles.
The band.
In hindsight, they looked like the bangles. No, it was the ankle, you know, like you see sort of Ethno Tourist, WOMAD, barefoot, Hoxton.
Wearing a bangle.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sort of like women who could be hot.
But they don't
but
try.
They like, yeah.
Yeah.
I know a woman called Michelle who's like that. But the ankle bracelets, and they look so much like that. And I had a bag that just said sport on the side.
I had a clarinet teacher who killed her dog and had to move to Alderney.
Who do you think you are? There's a comedian called Adam Hess.
Yeah.
And I always thought his episode of Who Do You Think You Are would be very funny. Also, apparently I'm related to Himmler. That's the best Edinburgh show ever. I'm out.
Thanks I'm for out. Listening.
That would be the best double bill ever.
Thanks for listening to the What Not podcast. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud and YouTube. So listen to us there. And please remember to comment, rate and subscribe. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a beautiful day wherever you are.